My sermon for today is entitled, Enlarging Our Context. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are the one who strengthens us. You are the one who saves us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, the Reverend John Jewell shared the following true story. Bob Schwartz was the owner of a mid-sized trucking firm in Chicago. And he made the decision to sell his firm to a large national corporation while he was still ahead of the game. He could see that it wouldn't be long before a company his size would have to grow and expand or sell. Now, each year at Christmas, Bob had given his employees and his drivers a bonus, which was based on the company profit for the previous year and the employees' time on the job. The final year of operations, however, had been an especially good year. And he decided to give everyone an especially generous bonus. Everyone would receive more than they had in the previous years. And everyone would receive the same amount. And if you were on the payroll on December 20th, when the checks were written, you got this bonus. You guessed it. Matthew 20 all over again. I couldn't believe it, Bob said. I tried to do something good for everybody. And now I get angry phone calls at home from people who got larger bonus checks than they'd ever gotten before. Are people that greedy? Well, if ever there was a knock against rampant capitalism, that story in our passage from Matthew is it. Let's admit, we all like to feel that we are rewarded for time spent doing a job, that our skills and length in service give us something more. It's the capitalistic way. Capitalism is the idea that we are paid and rewarded for time served, skills learned, and a job well done. And every 3 years, this passage from Matthew turns up in the lectionary. And people hate it. Even ministers hate to preach on it. Because it is so anti-capitalism, so anti-American. How could Jesus suggest that lazy people get paid the same as hard or long-time workers? It makes no sense. And there lies the problem. We assume things. We assume that those hired 1 hour before quitting time were lazy bums who decided in the late afternoon that they should do a little work so that they would have some money to pay for their night's entertainment or their evening bar tab. Like those who lost their jobs in the pandemic and then lost their $600 additional a month allowance because politicians felt that they would not want to go back to work. However, it's quite possible, and the story seems to assume that we are making the wrong assumption. Those who had been hired at the end may not have been waiting there all day. It could be that during the first part of the day, they had a sick parent or spouse or child at home and had to take care of them. Or because they had to stay home because their children were being homeschooled because of the pandemic. We really don't know what the reason was that they weren't hired until the last hour. But you know, that's not important to the story. Neither is the money that they were paid important. What is important is that everyone is treated equally. Everyone got a living wage. And I think it's also important to recognize that everyone got the greater amount of a living wage. A denarius a day was a very good living wage for a day's work. They did not get the lesser amount. Chris Lew Beers, a program associate at one time for the North Carolina Council of Churches, said this about this passage. Then, as now, sometimes unscrupulous employers would hire a laborer for a day and then refuse to pay them until later. An unfair practice that threatened to send the working poor into debt and starvation. In today's parable, though, the unexpected problem does not arise because the employer disregarded the teachings of the Torah. In Leviticus 19:13, we hear these words. You shall not defraud your neighbor, you shall not steal, you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. And then in Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 to 15, we hear these words. You shall not withhold the wages of the poor and needy laborers, whether other Israelites or aliens who reside in the land in your towns. You shall pay them their wages daily before sunset, because they are poor and their livelihood depends on them. Otherwise, they might cry to the Lord against you and you would incur guilt. Peters goes on to say, rather, this employer went above and beyond what the law required, paying some of his workers a day's wage for less than a day's work. Oh, we hate to hear things like that, don't we? This is a story of grace and equality. You see, Jesus is trying to share that God is able to dispense with grace and providence as God sees fit. God doesn't do it in some corrupt way, as the people of that time, as well as today, could relate with. We've all heard the horror stories of people being cheated out of pay for their work, of owners not paying their contractors for agreed upon work when the work was done. This is especially true for the migrant and illegal worker, even in our area, because the people who they work for know that they cannot go to the authorities, to the police, and complain. Operative word for this story is living, a living wage. Each worker gets what they need. Each worker is seen as important, in their own right as a child of God. And that's the lesson of the Exodus passage as well. People were to go out in the evening and gather quail, and out in the morning to gather manna, the bread, that they needed for the day and no more. The young or the strong were not to hoard more because they could pick more. They all got what they needed for their daily needs. And so both of these passages call us to enlarge our context, to think that it's not just about us and what we can get, but it's about all of us and what's right for all of us. This is a concept that we as a nation are having a great deal of difficulty with today. Rich are getting tax breaks. Middle class and lower class are losing their jobs, and no one wants to give them and those in poverty the hand up, a job with a living wage. We are thinking too much about what is in life, what there is in it for us, personally. The two passages challenge us to create a society where all people are valued equally. Jesus' radical story points out just how unjust we are when it comes to how we value each other and ourselves. And even how it gets to the point of being ridiculous at times. Some of you may remember the time when President George W. Bush was visiting a factory in Omaha. And he was talking about his ideas for reforming Social Security. And the following exchange took place with a worker in the factory. A bunch of the workers were gathered there together on the factory floor to listen to President Bush. And the president met Mary Mornin, a woman in her late 50s who told the president that she was a divorced mother of three, including a mentally challenged son. The president comforted Mornin on the security of Social Security, stating that the promises made will be kept by the government. But without prompting, Mornin began to elaborate on her life circumstances. She said, "That's good, because I work three jobs, and I feel like I contribute." President Bush said, "You work three jobs?" "This morning, yes, three jobs." The president said, "Boy, that's uniquely American, isn't it? That is fantastic that you're doing that." And there's a bunch of applause. And then the president said, "Get any sleep?" And everybody laughed. We lose sight of what is important and true. We lose sight of real family values when people have to work three jobs to get by. Everyone is equal. And we need to hear it in this time of pandemic. Because those who are wealthy can work from home and invest their money and make lots of more money. And be safe. While those who do the service jobs, those in the grocery stores, the waiters in the restaurants, the nurses, the patient care techs, the meatpacking employees, the workers picking the vegetables in the fields, they're all making just a pittance. Many of them are getting sick, and they are losing their jobs. Where is the equality in that? If nothing else, this pandemic should have wakened us to recognize who the essential people really are And it's not the ones in the fancy suits and the fancy offices. I believe this pandemic must open our eyes and cause us to adjust, to enlarge our contact with those around us. We need to see that all people are needed and deserving of a life that sustains them. We cannot continue to look down on some people as less deserving than us, because as our two passages make painfully clear, that is not what God wants or intends. And if our society is to recover from all of this, then we do need to greatly enlarge our conscience. Amen.